ago. So, yeah, just got blessed with the manifestations, listening to how God has, he sees us, we're in his eyes, he can see us with his eyes, and he's pleased with us. That's exciting, right? Hey, what if we really believe that? You know, what if we really take that to heart and believe that? That God Almighty, the one who sent his son, is actually pleased with you. Just the way you are right now, sitting in this room. Yeah. That's a breath of fresh air, isn't it, to think about that? It's really true. Otherwise, why would we even do it? Why would we have manifestations if they're just words? It's not just a religion. It's not just something we do. Those are words from God to you. And he's pleased with you. And he's pleased with you. And the rest of you too. And that's really good to know that. That we have an intimate relationship with. That he loves us with the love of all loves. You know? And nothing in there was conditional. He didn't say, if you do this, if you do that, if you renew your mind well enough today. It's not conditional, you know. And I want to look at some things today. It's actually some things Pam and I were talking about last night. That's a leaf. I want to start in Proverbs 3. Some verses you guys know. I promise I'm not going to get political, but there's a lot going on in the world right now, and in our country particularly, that if we don't have the word at hand in our hearts, a lot of reasons to be, you could be anxious for things, you know. And we were talking about it last night, and just in light of, like, where do we land as Christians, as those with Christ in us, as those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, where do we land with this stuff? And there's 1,000 opinions out there, there's, you know, opportunities to vote and everything else like that, and, you know, as the world normally is, it's a lot of confusion, you know. So, let's look at what the Word says today. Proverbs 3, I just want to start here because this is awesome. Verse 5. It says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Simple, right? I love the word trust because it has that sense of relationship. It takes, you know, you trust someone when you've built a relationship with them. And we're to trust in our God with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding in all of our ways, in everything that we do, in everything that we think, we're to acknowledge him and his ways and his word and his will above our own, right? And be above the way of the world. And he will direct our paths. That's amazing to know that. That's a promise. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. This is excellent. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing promise? You think about that. There's a lot of confusion out there. You know, one side says do this, one side says do that. You know, and the question becomes, like, as a Christian person in this world, what are my Christian duties before God? What are my Christian, what is it to be a Christian? You know, what do I need to do? How should I act and what should I do in this world as a Christian? You know, and so I want to look at some of that stuff because it's pretty amazing and it's so comforting. It's so comforting. So I'm starting here with we trust with all our heart. We trust God. We look to Him. We're not anxious. But instead of being anxious, we take everything to God. And the peace of God that's beyond even understanding will guard our heart. Does our heart need to be guarded sometimes? Absolutely, right? I mean, if I turn the TV on and I'm listening to the radio and the things that are presented there, it's like, you know, you could get pretty upset, and rightfully so, based on the things that are happening in the world. But newsflash, they've always been happening like that too. It's not something new. Okay? And all through it, God has been faithful to His people over and over again. And so there's really no room for anxiety. There's only room for trusting Him, for putting our heart and our lives in His hands and trusting Him. I wanted to look at a couple records. These were cool. And they just got me to thinking about things. I got my notes somewhere. I probably should pull them out, huh? All right. Matthew 17. And these are a couple cool records, I thought, because I wanted to see. There's some political stuff that went on in the life and time of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's pretty neat to look and see how He handled it and what kind of heart He approached it with as a great example. And you think about it, you know, in His day and time, he's an Israelite born into Israel, and Israel at this point is under the thumb of Rome, as the Roman Empire, right? Things weren't always right or just. If you were born a Roman citizen, you had some rights. If you're a conquered nation, you don't have rights. Okay, so they're not exactly born into, you know, a constitutional republic. And even if they were, let's look at Matthew 17, verse 24. And this is pretty cool. So our Lord and His disciples are here together in verse 24. It says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Does not your master pay tribute?' And he said, 'Yes.' And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, or he proceeded, he went before him, and he saying, 'What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?' Verse 26, and Peter said unto him, 'Of strangers.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Then are the children free, notwithstanding, or nevertheless, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money, that take and give to them for thee, or for me, and thee.'" Okay? So here's an example of taxation without representation, right? So we like to look at here in America. Taxation without representation, right? They're taxing him. They have no right to tax him in this case. And the tax collecting system was corrupt then, as it probably is today, right? So we have an injustice. But how did our Lord handle it? Where was his heart's trust?
In God.
In God, right? You guys, you remember, render Caesar the things that are Caesar's and things to God. In other words, you know, your heart and your life, you trust in God. You be concerned about the things of God. Okay? Caesar's going to take your money. You know, is it right and just? No, it's not right and just. It's not. But who's the just judge? Yeah, right. And who is it that takes care of you? You're low taxes or an abundant God who blesses? You see, it's just like, okay. Okay, I can do that, right? We can trust Him. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know, all your anxieties you take to Him. Take to God. He'll take care of you. I don't, you know, really, that's without regard to what happens, politically or otherwise. Our God takes care for His people. right? So it's a cool example. Let's go to Matthew 2. And this was cool just to see this one too. Okay, let's start in verse. Well, let's just start in verse 1. We'll get a running start here. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart, return to Herod, that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee unto Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" Verse 14, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth," he was very mad, "and sent forth and slew," he killed "all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Wow. That's pretty deep, you know. Here's a situation where, you know, this didn't go to the Congress for a vote and then get approved in the Senate and then have an executive signature on it, right? Herod says, "You go kill everyone 2 years and younger in this region," and it's done. That's a pretty bad environment to live in, don't you think? That the king could just decide to do that? Just decide to do that. And then it's done. But look at the way that God took care of his son in the midst of that. Before it even happens, sends an angel to the wise men so that they don't know where he is. Send an angel to Joseph, get him out of there to go to Egypt. Right? God's one step ahead the whole time. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse age, right? Their God, our Father, is taking care of his son. And how about each one of you? You're his son by birth, by new birth. And you have the Spirit of God in you now, right? Okay. You know, it's just just to see this stuff and see how God is well able to take care of things. Another one that, go to Daniel. And you guys know the story, but we're going to read it a little bit of it anyways, because it's an amazing story. It's an amazing record. Oh yeah, sorry, chapter 3. So, Nebuchadnezzar the king, it gets, you know, politics here. Gets talked into signing into law a decree that everyone has to worship the king when they hear the sound of all this music, you know, and it lists each of the instruments. So he gets kind of coerced into doing this thing. You're like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I want people to worship me. I'll put my name to that. So the rule of the land now is that if when you hear that music, you don't fall down and worship the golden image, which the king set up, that you get thrown into the fiery furnace. And this was, you know, essentially political sabotage, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we're going to look at here, had power in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And those that also had political power were trying to get rid of them. And they knew these guys are believers, that they worship the Lord, Jehovah, and we're going to take them out. So they set up and make a law to try and take out God's people. Okay? Not the first time this has happened. Won't be the last time either. But look at what happens. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar, this is chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Wow, what a question, huh? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't have to think about this. We don't have to consider. We're not careful about this. If it be so, our God who we serve, in other words, if you're going to throw us in, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, you know, we're not bowing one way or another, you know. Verse 19, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. It's 7 times more hot than it was known to ever be heated before. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a hot furnace, right? Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the middle of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the middle of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Pretty amazing, huh? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Boy, his tune changed, did it not? Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Amazing. And it says later on that their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. Pretty amazing, right? So, you know, here's two separate records. You have one where God warns his son's father, essentially Joseph, you know, acting father, and removes him from the trouble before the trouble hits. Here's another example where these men, you know, have some integrity, and they say, look, we're serving. If God delivers us or not, we're serving. We're going to worship him. We're not worshiping your gods. And they were thrown in the fire. They were thrown. You know, I'd be sitting there praying that I don't fall in the fire. that's what I'd be, you know, upset, crap, I'm going now. You know, God didn't deliver me. No, in the midst of it, in the midst of the fire, God delivers his people. Isn't that cool? So, you know, so really, are we in, you know, do I want things to go this direction? The politics, and am I thankful for what we have in this country? Absolutely. But regardless of what happens here, now or in the future, our God is faithful. And we're his kids, right? We're his kids. So we look to him. We trust him. Okay? And our concern is not, you know, our concern is to do what he would have us to do. Let's go to 1 Timothy. This is cool. You guys know this scripture. First Timothy. And we'll start in chapter 2. I think about that verse of scripture in Ephesians where it talks about God, you know, wants us, the prayer is that our eyes would be open, that we'd understand and see, and how God has exalted his Son to his right hand, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name that's named. And I think, you know, the only true God, the creator of this whole universe, is your Father. And your brother and Lord is his Son, who he's exalted far above every name that's named, you know. And you kind of zoom back and take a look at the world, and it's this little pea-sized thing in the midst of this vast universe. And even if there's someone that sets themselves up as king of the world, they're just a little amoeba sitting on a small little pea. You know what I'm saying? And compared to our God and our Lord, you know. And as you read the scriptures, you read Revelation, you know how the story ends. You know? We win. Little hint, we win. Every time. Every time I read it, we win. You know, it hasn't changed. There's great peace. There's great joy in just knowing that our God has us regardless of what happens in these times that we live in. That's not to say we won't go through tribulation. The scriptures are clear about that too. But who's there with you through all that? Who is it that will direct you? Who is it that will protect and care for you? The God of the universe and your Lord Jesus Christ, who's far above any king or president or dictator, you know. Chapter 2. This is sweet. Sweet verse here. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Isn't that sweet? Mm-hmm. Hey, that's sweet. So this is, you know, there's not a lot of instruction in the scriptures directly about what to do politically. You know, it doesn't choose one side or the other. What it does lay out is, as a Christian, we're above all that stuff, guys. We're not citizens of this earth. You know, we're citizens of heaven. We belong to the Lord. We belong to him. You know, we live on a different plane. And while we're here, we're exhorted to pray for those who are in authority, for the kings, for the rulers, that for the reason that we might live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know. And I'm pretty sure this is not talking about the status of your physical circumstances. If that makes sense. We have the peace of God. We have it. You know, I can lead a life that's godly and peaceful and quiet regardless of the situation I'm in. right? Mm-hmm. How about you could ask Paul that question? You know, how many times he was beaten, you know, shipwrecked, in prison, all these things, not just. He hadn't done anything wrong. And there he was serving our God and our Lord. And in the midst of all that, would you say Paul probably had some peace and lived a quiet and godly life in the midst of all that? Absolutely, right? And so it's sweet. So we pray. We pray. We go to God about this stuff. Verse 3, look at this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith or believing and verity or truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And that word doubting is a word that means debate. It means debate, which is kind of neat in the context. Mm. You know, without wrath or passions and debating. You know, we pray. We go to God and we pray. What's our hope? Is my hope a stable government? Is my hope freedoms and rights that my government supposedly gives me? Or is my hope relationship with God and deliverance from my Lord Jesus Christ with a home in heaven? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's our perspective? What are our eyes set on? What's going to deliver people? Converting them from one political party to another, or giving them Christ so that they can be born again? You understand? I just see it's so easy to get caught up in what the world does and start speaking evil things about people that we don't even know. And maybe they are evil, but you know what the word says? It says that in whom the eyes have been blinded, right? Whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe. You know? Everyone out there is either a Christian or they're potentially a Christian. You know? And that's the way we can look at this thing. That's what God's will is, that would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Pretty amazing, right? Look at, we'll kind of close over here, I think, in Peter. 1 Peter. Love those baby sounds in the background. It's just good. It's good to realize that we're no longer part of this. I think of Colossians. I think of Colossians where it says we've been transferred from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Like, that's our kingdom now. And saying that's the one who, that's our Lord is Jesus Christ. Okay? And regardless of who my president is, my Lord is Jesus Christ, and that doesn't change. And that's the kingdom I belong to. And it's the kingdom you belong to. You know? First Peter, almost said First President. First Peter, chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 8, get a running start into this. This is just an amazing context. I know we looked at the stuff at family camp. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brothers, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." And that's good news, isn't it? And we talked about before, not being anxious, but praying. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You folks are righteous. and his ears are open unto their prayers. God's ears are open to your prayer. That's good to know. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, or you're blessed, be blessed, and not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And here in verse 15 it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is with you, that is in you, with meekness and fear or reverence. Isn't that sweet? Hey, this kind of a neat thing. God there is actually Christ. And the article before the before Lord is not in the text. So Bollinger has it, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Isn't that cool? You set apart Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to those who ask of the hope. You know, there's crazy times out there, right? And we're out there with people at work, people at school, and regardless of what side you are on politically, everyone's in a fervor, you know, and people are upset and concerned about the future and everything else. But in the midst of that, you're a child who shines as luminaries in the midst of a crooked and perverse age. And there you are with peace of God in your heart because you know who your Lord is. And you set him apart as Lord. Do you see the beauty of that? And then people, you know, people all around you are upset, and there you are, and you're not. Why? Because the truth of the Word of God and the truth of who Jesus Christ is reigns in your life. And it becomes very obvious. And then from that place, you can make him known. And that's the will of God, that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, that's the will of God. You know, we could be very thankful in the midst of all this, you know, for where we live and you know, the freedoms we enjoy. But if all of it was to dissolve tomorrow, the real freedom comes from being in Christ. And the real deliverance comes from being in Christ. Period. Regardless of where we live or how we live there. You know, and that's our focus. That's where our heart dwells and stays. There's a lot of other scriptures. There's other sections that talk about, you know, the way we ought to live in this world, and part of it is submitting yourselves to the laws of the land. You know, because we're not here to make political ripples. We're here to bring Christ, and that's the point. That's why we're, and I didn't look those up, so I don't want to teach on them, but you can look them up. We can look them up. I think you guys understand what we've seen so far. So, pretty amazing that we can have peace in the midst of everything. So, God is good, huh?